Recently, I've been wrestling over a few decisions I've had to make, and I don't know how you approach decision making, but most of us kind of do it in a similar fashion. We kind of start with what do I think I should do? What's my personal opinion of how I should make this decision? And once we've got our own thoughts together, we usually then ask somebody else, what do you think I should do with this situation? Some of us, if we don't like the opinion that we get from that person, then ask another person, what do you think I should do? Looking for somebody that will agree with us. And some of us go even further, where if it's a big decision, we actually start to write a list of pros and cons. Are there any pros and cons writers in the room when making a decision? Yeah, there's a few of you. I hate that approach. That just drives me insane. But if it works for you, that's brilliant. I just don't understand how you outweigh the two. You go, well, this has got 5 on, this has got 6 on, we should make that decision. Well, isn't that way more than that one? I don't know. If it works, great. But at the end of that process, however you approach it, you may come to the place I did, which is, well, what does God think I should do with this decision? And it can take us all a little while to get there, but inevitably that's the place we get to. What's God's opinion and view of this? And I wonder how often you've come to that place yourself with decisions. It might be big things that are happening in your lives, the kind of what job should I do? Where should I live? Should I spend loads of money on this? Should I date this person? Should I marry this person? Those kind of massive decisions that you're like, well, this is kind of a milestone moment in my life, and so I really want to make the right decision. And it's times like that where we think, God, I really want to know what you think. But actually, other than massive decisions, we can also want to know what God thinks on the day-to-day stuff. It might be that you're, you know, going to your home group or some other meeting with friends, and you think, oh, God, I really would love to know what you think about our home group tonight. What do you want to say to us? What do you want to speak to us? Or you might have a personal situation going on where you're struggling with something, you're unsure, and you're thinking, God, what should I do in this situation? Or even a loved one that you care about and you know they're struggling, and you think, God, it'd be really good if you could just tell me how to help them. Give me advice for them that I can pass on. So hearing God is something that we want to do all the time, really. It's not just at those big moments. And what would be amazing in those moments is you're saying, God, I've got this big decision, what should I do? And all of a sudden, a flock of birds fly over, and like a divine text message, they spell out in the sky the answer to your question. That would be amazing if that happened, wouldn't it? God could do that. It's never happened to me yet. I still look at the sky in hope, but it's never happened. Or another popular approach, you might have heard of it, is, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open my Bible to any page, stick my hand in, and whatever that verse says, that's what I'm going to do. You don't need to know many scriptures to know that's not really going to work. You end up with stuff in Leviticus telling you that you shouldn't have webbed feet or something like that. You're like, this is not quite the answer I was looking for in this situation, God. But we struggle with that. How should we make the decision? What is God saying to us? And that's what I want to talk about today. Whether it's a big decision or a small decision, I believe God is really wanting to speak to us all over things in our lives. And that hearing him and knowing how to work out what he's advising us is something that is really crucial to us in our Christian walks. And there's a variety of ways that God does speak to us that don't involve birds and don't involve random points in the Bible. So we're just going to talk about a few of those. And when we come to the end of talking about it, what I'm hoping we have time to do is just to ourselves listen to God. Just to prepare you, that's where we're heading. That it's not a case of I'm going to ask you to do that and then everyone has to read out to the rest of the room what God is saying to you. But I want us to have a go at practicing at the end. Let's just listen to God for ourselves and see what he's saying. So the first one of a way God speaks to us will come as no surprise to you, that it's through the Word of God. this is the primary means that God speaks to us, through our wonderful Bibles. I brought mine along, even though it's all electronic now, and waving a mobile phone at you doesn't have the same weight. But this is how God primarily wants to speak to us on a daily basis. It says in 2 Timothy 3 that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the person of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. It is amazing when you think about it that God has put his hand on history to bring about through mankind that you and I have this book now. That's incredible. And if you go through the history of how the Bible came together, the different events that form the scriptures that we have today, it's quite incredible to look at how God did that through mankind. And we recognize this not as just a collection of letters that were sent around the time when Jesus was just after he had died. This is not just that. We believe this is actually the words that God wants us to have today in our hands, that every single one of them has a purpose and is important to us for reading. And it doesn't actually matter what generation you are. It may have been 30 years ago that, you know, we didn't have mobile phones then. I was born. But so everyone perhaps would have brought one of these with them. And it isn't a case that in this day and age, we've now got technology and the Bible is done with. We've moved on. We've progressed to new ways of studying the word. That's not the case. It actually says in 1 Peter 1 that the word of the Lord will endure forever. So any generation, God is wanting to say, no, this, I want this in your hands, and I want to speak to you through this. And nowadays, you can, within 20 seconds, go on YouTube and you can find a sermon far better than I can ever speak to you, and you can enjoy listening to that. You could also find those that are far brainier than me that could talk about Scripture and our understanding of Scripture and do a good Bible study for you. That's all available online. But even that does not replace the fact that God individually wants to speak to you through reading this. There's just no substitute. And the reason for that is that this is alive. This is a live book. The words in it will speak to you day in, day out, from now to the day you die, no matter how much you read it. It's a challenge for you, if you like. Try and exhaust this. Try and read it until you're like, I have read everything. There's nothing left to read. God has nothing more to speak to me. You won't do it. I can promise you that. And that's awesome for us, isn't it? That's amazing for us that actually we have something that's always fresh. It's kind of like God's always rewriting the Bible. There's always more for us to read, something that we've never seen before. And you can have read a scripture 1,000 times, and then you read it again, and God goes, now, today, I want to talk to you about this scripture. I want to show you something that you've never seen before. And that's amazing. So Hebrews 4 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. So God wants us to view this book as a manual for our lives. And we live in a culture today where you get bombarded 24/7, don't you? I don't know how far you have to go back, but if you go back far enough, the newspaper would have been the only means of information coming into your household. You've got a newspaper and you would have tore through that and read it and digested it. And then we moved on, and then the radio came, and then there was, next there was our four channels. That's the point where I step into history, four channels. And then channel 5 came along. That was really exciting. Then Sky came along, and who knows how many channels there are now. And then Wi-Fi came along, and it all just went pear-shaped. At this point, the screens everywhere we look, aren't there? If you're on any form of social media, so if you're looking at Instagram, Facebook, any of those things, every day you have countless number of messages flashing across your screen that are forming your worldview and your opinion of life. Whether you think you're immune to it or not, you're not. You'll read that, and some of it will go in. And we know that because there's things that you probably see now that you're in no way offended by, and you just take as normal. And I might see it and go, well, I don't ever look at this app, and that's quite offensive to me. And you go, oh, well, it's just like that. You see that and you get that regularly. And it's because we become normalized to things. And social media, I'm not going to have a go at it. There's good things on social media. I know lots of people love it. But we have to be grounded in the Word of God to combat the fact that we are constantly bombarded by society's view. It's fine to use social media, but make sure you're firmly rooted in the Word of God, because that's where God is going to form your opinion of him. I think I've said that the right way around. And so that's really important. Don't throw your social media away, although some of it I would question whether it's of any help to you. But make sure you are going, now this book, I need this in my life. I need to digest it, I need to live it, I need to breathe it. 1 Peter 2 says that we're like newborn babes to long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Kelly started this morning talking about thirst. We're supposed to be like that. If you've ever seen a baby after milk, there's one down there, watch him later. They're obsessed. You just don't talk to me about anything else until I've had that milk. And that's what God wants us to be like, that we value it so much that we're like, no, no, no. That's fine that TV program's happening, or you want me to do that, but I've got to have time in this today because this is food for me and I need to eat. That's kind of the view God wants us to have. But I say all that and I realize that it doesn't come that easy to all of us. Reading God's word actually sometimes can be quite hard to get into. It's a big book. You're like, where do I start? How do I understand it? Some of it you read and you're like, my word, this is crazy. What are they talking about? And that's fine to feel like that. And if that is you, just speak to somebody, speak to me or somebody you know that is enjoying reading God's word and say, help me. Help me to find a place where I start to enjoy this too. Because we've all been there and we're supposed to help each other out, okay? So please do shout if that is you. So God's word, the primary means that God is going to speak to us day to day in our lives. But there's other ways as well. And the second one is through other people. Looking around you, these bunch of lovely people are how God wants to speak to you. The Christian walk is not a solo sport. It means that you have brothers and sisters, and there's been quite a lot of talk about that, about church and family at the moment, and that's very true, that you are surrounded by brothers and sisters that are there to love and support you. And when God goes for the talking about the brothers and sisters, he's not saying it with a kind of a, oh, isn't it nice, we should just label each other brothers and sisters, but we don't actually know each other's name or care about each other. It's just a pretty Christian thing we'll do. Now, God actually goes, now I want you to view it like your blood relatives. So there's a scripture in John 13, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. As Jesus has loved us, we're supposed to love each other. That is a very tall order, isn't it? And if it doesn't feel like a tall order, you don't know how much you're loved by Jesus, because it is endless. And if we take that approach, if we love and care for each other like that, it should mean that part of our love is ministering to each other. So you may have come today feeling very burdened and weighed down and thinking, I really need God to speak to me, but to be honest, I'm just too crushed by my problems today to even begin to hear the voice of God. That's where you should be able to say, brother, sister, will you pray for me? And they'll say, yes. Let me minister God to you, because I know God wants to speak through me to you. And that should happen for us every Sunday. Every Sunday, we should feel at liberty to do that. And I think we're not very good at asking. I know I'm terrible at asking. I don't like putting other people out. But really, we should be able to just go, pray for me, would you? I'm struggling. And that is exactly what God wants us to do. And we'll start to hear each other as we do it. You see, God's given us each of us a gift, and he wants us to minister it to each other. It says in 1 Peter 4, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. There was a Sunday many moons ago where Mark, I think it was Mark, started the service by saying, right, what we're going to do today is we're going to just start by having a word for each other. You know those moments where you go, oh no, please, can I go to the bathroom right now? And it was a morning where, I have to tell you, it was the last thing I felt like doing. I'd done well to get to church. I'd done well to just stand there. I think I'd had no coffee. So I really did not want to pray for anyone. So eyes to the floor, perhaps I can get away with this. Somebody comes along, they grab me and go, John, you can pray for me. I thought, oh dear Lord, you're going to have to do something right now because I got nothing. So I went for it, and I went for it in faith. I really went with a, God, I have got nothing in me. You're going to have to speak. And I can promise you, it was the moment I put my hand on him, God spoke to me and said, this is what I want you to say to him. And it brought me to tears, what God showed me in that moment, actually. I was so moved by just seeing God's heart for that person. And I think they were touched by it. They said, very good, John, thank you, and moved on. But it goes to show that we don't have to feel like we've got something to give away. We don't have to feel like we're in the greatest place with God before we can minister to our brothers and sisters. We can simply say, God, I want to pray for this person. I trust you to do the rest right now. So don't be shy of doing it. Another way God speaks to us is through a sense of peace. Let me just move that. And personally, this is the way God speaks to me a lot, is through peace. So Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And the Amplified puts it this way, let the peace of Christ be the controlling factors in your heart, deciding and settling questions that arise. So I've heard it described, that passage, a bit like the peace of God being an umpire in your heart, deciding yes or no. And you can use it in that way because God will give you a sense of peace over the decision, or he won't. So you can literally go, God, should I do this? Do I have peace? Yes or no? Sometimes God may be indifferent to your decision. If you're trying to work out what socks to wear today, I'm not sure how far that method's going to get for you. God may say, I've given you a brain, use it, please, in this moment. But actually, when it comes to decision-making, that's a really good way for us to do it. Jesus said in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. When I came to decide what to speak on this morning, I have written three introductions for three different sermons before I settled on this one. And the first two I started and stopped because I just had no peace whatsoever with it. I was like, yes, this is a great title, I'm going for it, introduction. It just feels rubbish, Lord. It doesn't feel like you're with me on this at all. Let's change the subject, let's do something else. And I did that until I got to here. And honestly, you may say to me at the end, John, you're completely wrong, but in honesty, I felt a sense of peace over this subject, that this is what God wanted me to bring this morning. And that's kind of the way I use it. You know, it may be a very simple decision, but that sense of peace, God will happily give you or withdraw from you to help you make decisions. Another way that we should consider is through our circumstances. God can be very much speaking to us through circumstances that go on in our lives. Psalm 139, a very popular psalm, says this, that your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in the book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Can you remember what you did 2 weeks ago? You probably came to church on the Sunday, maybe. But you probably can't remember the details of what you did in the afternoon, what you had for lunch, and things like that. It's amazing to think God can. Not only can he remember what you did before you were born, he wrote down what you're going to do throughout your entire life. That's the level of interest God has in you. He so cares about you that he's going to take time to write down about your life. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? But what that means is that he knows what's coming around the corner for you. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow for you. And the circumstances of your life are therefore not just random chance. If you're not a Christian, God is an onlooker into your life. He looks on and you make all the decisions. You do what you want. Some of those decisions will be bad, but God allows you that free will to do it. If you're a Christian, we have the same free will, but God goes, no, I want to partner with you in your life. We make him the Lord of our lives, don't we? When we come to salvation, we say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord. I want you to be involved. And it means that we can trust that he is leading us day by day in things that happen. So it may be that in circumstances you find yourself, good or bad, that actually you need to consider, has God made these circumstances this way for a particular reason? It's not always going to be the answer, yes, he has, but that is very possible that God is involved in your circumstances. Sarah and I, when we were first married, we lived down in Sussex, down near Brighton, and we were going to a church in Brighton. We lived about half an hour out, and we were driving in each Sunday. We loved the church. It was a really good church. And we decided we wanted to get on the property ladder, as all young couples do, and begin that frightening process. So we started looking around areas, either around Brighton or outside, that we might live in. And we looked at them, and we just couldn't find any that we liked. We are quite picky, but still, we just couldn't find any we liked, and that sense of peace I was talking about just didn't hover over any of those places that we considered. Coupled alongside that, I got made redundant from my job. And you could think, oh no, disaster, God's clearly abandoned you because redundancy's happened, you've done something terrible. But actually, we saw that as God speaking to us. We saw that as a moment of, we have no peace over living anywhere around here, and my job has just come to an end. Perhaps God's speaking to us about moving. And that's where we made the decision to move to Gloucestershire. And you must know about me is that I am not the grass is greener on the other side kind of guy. I'm a if it ain't broke, don't try and fix it kind of guy. So that means if I hadn't been made redundant, it's very likely I'd gone, well, I have a job, I'm just sticking with it. The job I'm in now, I've been in for 12 years, so that kind of shows you my mentality. It's just, well, it's a job, I'll keep going. So God actually had to really boot me out of the job to get my attention and say, John, Sarah, I want you to consider moving from this area. So that's amazing, isn't it, that he does that kind of thing. He'll use our circumstances to get our attention, and we need to be very open to that. So those are ways that God may speak to us. But what about how he speaks to us in each of them? How does the Bible speak to us? How do we hear God for each other and through each other? How do we sense God's peace in our hearts? And how do we recognize God's hands on our circumstances? In every one of those, the answer of how we hear God is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't sit alongside those as a different avenue of God speaking to us. Actually, in every one of those, he's the central way that God speaks to us, is through the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was on the earth, when he was with his disciples, he gave so much time to just teaching the disciples individually, didn't he? He was very patient with them. We all know the stupid things they said and did, and we enjoy those moments in the Bible. But he would pull them aside and he'd say, well, let me just explain that parable to you. Let me just explain what the kingdom of God is like. Let me just explain what God's heart is like. It's not trying to kill everybody. Actually, God's a God of love. And he took loads of time to go through that kind of thing with them. And when he left, he promised them that he'd send another. He said to them that there'd be another just like him, and that one was the Holy Spirit. We read in John 14 that Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." In John 16, it says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." See, the Holy Spirit, one of his roles is described as being our teacher. And if you have a moment to think about the best teacher you've had in your life, not the bad ones, the ones that are kind, the ones that are inspirational, the ones that encouraged you and helped you get the grade that you got in the end. The Holy Spirit is way, way, way better than any of the best teachers you've come across in your life. He's a teacher that, according to 1 John 4, is love. That's what God is at his heart. He is a God who is love. So the Holy Spirit is love. That's who you have as a teacher. That means he doesn't beat you over the head when you get it wrong. He's unbelievably patient with you, actually, when you get things wrong. He's always encouraging you. You can do it. Keep going. I'm with you. That's his mentality. And he doesn't burden us either. He just meets us exactly where we're at. No matter how big the problem or how far away from God we feel, the Holy Spirit always comes to us and says, "Let me help you. Let me get alongside you." That's because that's what he's assigned to do. So that is brilliant news for us, that we have a teacher like that in each of our lives. It's not just for a couple of people. This is for every one of us has been assigned the teacher of the Holy Spirit to our lives. So when it comes to hearing God through his word, without the Holy Spirit, we would have had to approach it like studying for an A-level, really. We would have had to go, let's memorize every word of Scripture, because God may speak to us through any word, and we need to have them in our brains ready to go should he speak. And should we not know all the Scriptures, we might miss God speaking. But actually, if we have a teacher, as you give time to reading God's word, you don't need to worry or stress about it. You don't have to have a first-class degree in theology to be able to understand, because you've got a teacher who is able to explain things to you at the level you're at. You don't need to stress over what to read or whether you're reading enough, because the Holy Spirit knows how to speak to you through any portion of Scripture that you turn to. And you may read parts and not feel like they're relevant to you right now, but that's okay, because the Holy Spirit knows which bit he wants to draw out and speak to you about. So the Holy Spirit's job is to teach us and take that word and bring it to life in our hearts. And it's like having the best possible one-to-one tutor you can imagine. You can pay, I think I heard that a relative of mine who's doing Russian tutoring, I think she's doing Russian tutoring, gets something like £50 for 2 hours. You have got a better tutor than the best money could buy in the Holy Spirit. And when it comes to God using other people to speak to us, it's the Holy Spirit who will be behind that and also give us a confidence in our spirits that what other people speak to us is from God. See, when we pray for people, as I said earlier, we don't need to have all the answers. We don't in any way, because actually our brains are not that big, are they? And we run out of words quickly, and we don't really know the best advice to give into situations. But when we're praying for each other, our partner, the Holy Spirit, is stood beside us, and it's him who knows exactly what that person needs, exactly what to say to them. And often we don't even need to use words. We just need to say, "Holy Spirit, will you come right now and minister to this person?" And he'll do the rest. So that means whether we feel confident as a prayer or we just hate praying aloud, we can go, "Well, Holy Spirit, it's your problem, not mine. I'm just going to be obedient and pray as they've asked and trust that you'll do the rest." And it's the Holy Spirit who gives us peace and is in our circumstances. That peace in our hearts is the Holy Spirit. When circumstances come around the corner, it's the Holy Spirit who can help us see that it's God's hand on that moment. It's the Holy Spirit that can say, don't be afraid, don't be worried about what's happened in your life. I'm with you. Remember, I had it written in my book before you even knew about this twist in your life. And he can give us that huge confidence that, oh no, it's all right. God is with us in this. It's not going to blindside me, because it's not going to blindside God. Actually then, for the believer, recognizing the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives is hugely important. As much as we give time to reading the Word, as much as we give time to meeting up with other Christians, we really must give time to learning to hear the Holy Spirit. He wants to speak to all of us every single day. And we know that prayer is a two-way communication, isn't it? That actually God tells us to pray constantly. And when you think about that conversation between here and up there, which side do you think has the most to say? Well, which side do you think has the most important things to say? It's definitely up there. So we need to get really good at listening to what heaven is saying to us. And hearing him is just a matter of practice. If we make regular time in our lives to hear the Spirit, we can be confident we will hear him. 2 Corinthians talks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and us enjoying that fellowship. And a fellowship has to have communication, doesn't it? You can't have a fellowship where you never say a word to each other. That's just strangers. But God talks about us wanting to have a fellowship with the Holy Spirit where we get to know his voice and he speaks into us daily and then we speak back to him and then he replies, and it's that kind of relationship that he wants us to have. Along with other churches, I went to the conference, actually Supernatural, a couple of weeks ago, and it was brilliant, I have to say. Thousands of people gathered, and you heard the feedback from some of them the other week. And as is typical with a big conference, first of all, the worship, it was outstanding. Their band was countless, seemed like somebody different was on the stage every time. Their sound system, thousands and thousands of pounds. The lights that they had, hundreds of them. I don't think Cam's here, but if you ask Cam later, he counted the lights, and there was a lot of them. And they would perfectly flash at the right moment during the worship. He clearly rehearsed that. The best we can do to match that is that I can go at the back and switch the lights on and off during a worship song to try and create the same thing. And then there was the preaching. The sermons were phenomenal. There was two of them every day, and they were brilliant. I'd encourage you to listen to them on YouTube when they're available, because you'll be blessed by them. But all that said and done, that was 4 weeks ago. And if you ask me now, what worship songs did they sing? I'd really struggle to name more than two. And if you ask me about the content of the sermons that I so enjoyed, I'd really struggle to tell you more than one message and probably just the title of it. But if you ask me what the Holy Spirit did in me during that week, I could tell you like it was yesterday. Because that's what we take away from these things. As I speak to you this morning, you're going to go home, you're going to have lunch, you're going to get really hot this afternoon, and you're probably not going to remember very much of what I've said. But what's really important is, what did the Holy Spirit say to you this morning? That's what you want to take away. That's what you want to keep and you want to nourish. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking. And he's able to, in one moment, do something in you, deep in you, that 1,000 words from me can't do. He knows exactly what you're struggling with today. I've not got a clue, to be honest. So it's really important that we get to know the Holy Spirit so well. And the way they did that was they set loads of time aside for the Holy Spirit. They set loads of time where you just waited and you listened, and you did it again and again and again. And that's why the Holy Spirit spoke to us. It wasn't because they're a super conference and they have a special anointing. It was literally because they went, the Holy Spirit's really important. We're going to create time in our meetings for you to listen to him. We've had more times now during our worship where we just wait. We're just quiet. We just give space to the Holy Spirit. Because we recognize that it's really important for us to hear him corporately. People bring words like they did this morning, but also individually. That, as I said, you've come with stuff this morning that you need to hear a word from God about, and it isn't just the case of hoping the sermon is on the topic of what you're struggling with. It's the case of the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you this morning.